Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Breakaway Breakdown. This is your host, Lillian, and today we are diving into our Cowboy Christmas medley, where we are bringing you three interviews from throughout Cowboy Christmas. We are going to start with the earliest interview and then work our way to the present day. So we are starting with Miss Aspen Miller, who won the Greeley Stampede at the beginning of Cowboy Christmas. Our second interview was with Miss Amanda Terrell, who won the Pinocchio Stampede up there in Canada. And we finish it out with Erin Johnson, who was our high money winner over the course of Cowboy Christmas. She finished with more than $16,000, which is a new record for breakaway ropers. She won Prescott and has some pretty insane stories to tell about her journey on the Cowboy Christmas road. I'm not going to talk too much longer because we have a lot of interviews to get through, but first I need to give a little shout out to Roping.com for supporting today's episode. Roping.com is your place to learn from the pros, including our most recent Reno champion, Miss Taylor Munsell and Kelsey Domer, who won over $10,000 during Cowboy Christmas this year. We also have Larry D. Guy, Hope Thompson, and many, many more that you're going to want to check out on Roping.com. You'll hear a little bit more about them at the break, but until then, it's time to rope. Let's go. All right, Aspen. Well, congratulations on a big win in Greeley last night.
Thank you.
And you kind of had an interesting day to get there. You had a really early flight just in case you got delayed, just so you made sure you made it for the short go.
Yes, I'd heard a few people who had been flying here lately and flights had been getting delayed, and I found the earliest one. Then that way, in case it did, I still had plenty of time to get there.
Yes. Well, people
can... And of course, it didn't get delayed. It was right on time. So,
extra early. If you'd been pushing it, it probably would have gotten delayed, though.
I know, for sure. For sure. That's how it always works.
Mm-hmm. And then they weren't letting you in the facility because you didn't have the right stuff or something?
No, they did. There was just wasn't anybody there, and right there by hospitality, there's a bunch of grass and trees, so I just camped out right there. And
that works. Yeah. Everybody was having a little chuckle about it, but they can't. I mean, you were well rested, and it worked out.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Okay. So I know you've been all over the place. Who is taking care of Jigsaw for you when you're running around?
So I actually left Jigsaw in Greeley area at the Kingsbury's house. They were, you know, great enough to keep him for me and take wonderful care of him. And, I flew back in and got him. And then Jill had a hole for me to get him back in my rig to up here in Cody.
Okay. So up in Cody today, what did the next few days look like for you?
So we just left Cody. We're headed to Oakley, Utah right now. Mm-hmm. And then we will leave there tonight to head towards Mandan. We're there tomorrow night. And then we're Belfouche the morning. Get to head up to Calgary.
Okay. Okay. Sounds like a pretty good flow. And of course, made it count in Greeley last night. How special was winning that rodeo?
That's an incredible rodeo. It's loud, it's big, it's I feel like it's one of the prestigious ones to win for sure. It's just they make it so big for us, and they've given us such a great opportunity there to win so much money. It's a great rodeo to have over the fourth, and it's just good confidence to get the fourth rolling.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you're a little bit speechless about it.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. My rookie year, I won second there by 1/10. I think that was the year Ricky Fanning won it. Okay. I think she was still Ingusser at the time. And so I was just pumped this year to, you know, be back in the short go and in a good position and get it done.
That's fantastic. And tell me about the setup there. What were you seeing on the start? You know, how are you making it work for you?
I drew three bald face calves that were exceptional. And I feel like, they're so long, and it's a rodeo that is lasts, I feel like, for over a week, so I feel like the calves do change a little bit here and there just because of how long they're sitting there and what run you are on them and everything. But my first calf, I just tried to see neck rope around. He was a little bit softer. My second calf trickled out but was a little sharper in the field, so I feel like my starts were about the same every run, but I feel like it was just three repetitive runs that I made over there.
That's good. A little bit of consistency.
Yes.
Okay. And what would you say has been the secret to keeping Jigsaw freed up and, working good, especially as, start doing all these rodeos back to back and it's hard to keep them schooled?
Yes, I feel like one, he's coming along a lot further now. He's a little bit more seasoned, but really just keeping him rode and exercised and just paying attention to how he feels and just trying to ride correct and keep things simple as possible.
Yeah. How would you describe your style as a breakaway roper?
Oh, that's a good question. I love fast setups. I truly do. I love fast setups, but I feel like here lately I've been more consistent with my roping at the two and three headers, which is kind of different for me because I feel like I've always been a faster roper, but now I feel like it's progressing in both areas, and it's something I'm really excited about.
That has to be super rewarding because Jigsaw is getting to where he's, staying consistent rodeo to rodeo, and you're kind of evolving to match that.
Right, no, for sure.
Okay, I love it. For somebody who is kind of like listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, I want that to be me, or I want to be out there winning on the Cowboy Christmas Road, talk to me about what you think they should know. What's helping you the best as you tackle this kind of mountain of rodeos?
I feel like for someone that coming out here, there's so many rodeos over the fourth that I don't feel like you should let one rodeo affect your next one. You just got to keep moving forward. I was up at St. Paul the night before I was up at Greeley, and I had no luck over there,
Keeping a
but
positive
just
mindset and keep moving forward.
yes, that's right. Just don't let the last rodeo affect your next one. There's too many to go to that are too good
I
to let
know.
that bother you.
Do you have any idea how many miles you will have traveled by the end of this?
No, not a clue.
You're like, we'll
Not a
worry about that
clue.
later.
Yes, no, I know. It's a bunch, that's for sure. It's a bunch. I have my mom out here right now, and she's been helping us drive a little bit, and we're very, very thankful for that.
Okay, well, shout out to mom. And
Yes, shout out to mom.
it's super nice that you've been able to, like you said, hop in with Jill, and you had the people keeping your horse there at Greeley, and I know he's special cargo these days, so
Yes, he is.
okay. Well, congratulations and best of luck. I'll be crunching the numbers, so hopefully have some top earnings information, and we'll see where the world standings stand at the end of this insane week.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, you guys drive safe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All
Bye.
right, bye.
Hey guys, I just need to take a quick break from today's episode to tell you a little bit about roping.com. Get unlimited access to roping.com's comprehensive tie-down, breakaway, and team roping video library and learn from world champions Caleb Schmidt and Shad Mayfield, as well as top trainers Logan Harkey and Justin Mass. Rope with legendary breakaway ropers like Larry DeGuy, Hope Thompson, and 2024 NFBR World Champion Kelsey Domer. Plus, binge hundreds of hours of live and archived ropings, including the Cinch Timed Event Championship, the Patriot events, and more. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Well, hello, Amanda. Thanks for taking some time to chat with me on your way up to Calgary today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so everything has been going well travel-wise for you today?
Yes, ma'am. It's been smooth sailing. I just flew into Calgary a little bit ago, and I'm currently driving to the rodeo in my rental car.
There you go. Well, I'm sure, now we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here with Cowboy Christmas, so it's good to hear that you haven't hit too many snags so far.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We kind of hit the worst part at the beginning, and so now it's pretty well smooth sailing. I wasn't entered in much here at the end, so.
Okay, well, you made the ones that you were entered in count. One Ponoka, and then caught some checks at Williams Lake and Red Lodge as well. Tell me a little bit about your mindset headed into Cowboy Christmas. I was looking at your WPRA standings, and I mean, you're not really in the mix as far as the top 30. So tell me about your mindset coming into this kind of string of rodeos here.
Yeah, this year's been pretty crazy. I've been in school at Texas Tech. I was in grad school this past year and coaching and stuff. So I really didn't get to go anywhere until start of the summer. As soon as I got out of school, I moved up to Canada to go rodeo with Jenna. And so I've been chipping away at the Canadian rodeos. And then Cowboy Christmas, it was just a great opportunity. Pinoco was just a dream come true winning that. And then I don't know. It's just everything's been going really well, and I feel like God has just opened so many doors for me and given me so much peace about everything. And yeah, it's been awesome.
That is so exciting. And what year is this of you having your WPRA card?
Last year was my rookie year, so this
Okay.
is my first year to really go at it. Last year, I really wasn't gonna go much either. I went on the fourth run with Madeline, and then the rookie race looked better and better, and so I just kept going and going and going. And I started at Greeley pretty well last year, so I got to go to some new rodeos this year, Reno, I guess. And yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you say you've been coaching at Texas Tech. Were you coaching on the rodeo team there?
Yes, ma'am. I was the graduate assistant coach this past year.
That's fantastic. Are you going back this next year?
So I have one more year of my master's program left, so I'll finish up all online and I won't be coaching this next year.
Okay, and you're going to be rodeoing a little bit more this next season?
Yeah, I think I'll have quite a bit more time to devote to pro rodeo and hopefully go try to make the finals and everything next year for sure.
That's awesome. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself with talking about next year, but it's fun to kind of get the lay of the land on someone's kind of career and everything. What has this summer looked like for you? You said you only got to start when school got out, so like mid-May.
Yeah, I went up to Canada kind of the end of May, here and there, like this spring, like San Angelo and kind of the Texas ones that were fairly close. And so I definitely got to go to a few, but I didn't get into the buildings or anything, and so it was just a few here and there. But yeah, we've been pretty well just up in Canada up until we went to Bernal and Sisters, and then Reno was the first time that I'd come back down to the States, so.
That's really nice. And you said coming into Ponoka, I mean, the first time they had breakaway at that rodeo, it was such a big effort by those ladies to get it added. What was it like running a calf down that lane?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Huge thank you to everyone a part of that. That was just such an incredible experience for all of us. And I mentioned it before, like just running down the lane in itself would have been so cool. And then to win it was just a dream come true. And yeah, it's just a surreal experience. Like it just goes down as one of the majors and one of the super cowboy rodeos, like Cheyenne and Pendleton and stuff. It's just, you just have to experience it and feel it, and it's super surreal.
Yeah. How do you prepare for a start like that at Panoka?
So I am super blessed. My little black horse, we have figured out, him and I just seem to really like long skirts and just different type of setups. He did really well at Cheyenne and stuff. And so thankfully they put on a Ponoka jackpot like a few weeks before the actual rodeo, and so I took him and my sorrel horse to that jackpot, and it went really well, and it was great to get a feel for it and kind of have a little practice run before the actual rodeo.
So Talk to me about the atmosphere there at Ponoka. Obviously, you said longer start. You got to time it. What was the crowd like, and what were you doing to make sure that you got the best go at the barrier possible?
Yeah, as far as the barrier went, like, my dad asked me, he's like, so what did you see? I was like, I didn't see anything. Like, it was just such a feel thing. There was a barrier string tied to the alley fence, and I heard somebody say, like, if you saw your calf to there, once you see him there, you can go hard. And so at the jackpot, I definitely gauged it off of that. It was kind of different at the rodeo just because the calves were different. It was definitely just more of a feel thing. On my third or second calf, I guess, when I was two, I pushed the barrier way too much. I definitely did not need to be in the barrier like that, but it felt awesome, and I kind of backed off on my next one. But yeah, just gauging it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely something you probably need to, you know, take advantage of that jackpot to get a feel for, just because it is so different from a lot of the stuff that we do in the States.
Yeah, for sure. And the crowd, like, the atmosphere was just amazing. I mean, I've never won a major rodeo before, so this might be totally normal, I don't know. But the Canadians were so nice. Like, afterwards, I was walking back to my trailer, and they're just, like, whooping and hollering. They hung their horns, like, wave at me, whistle at me. Like, some kids stopped and wanted to take a picture with me.
Oh, my God.
Canadians were so friendly, and that might be just totally normal anytime you win a major rodeo, but I like to think that the Canadians were just super welcoming. I didn't know if it would kind of be a upset having an American win it the first time having breakaway. I know a lot of those Canadian girls have grown up watching that rodeo, and I'm sure would dream to win it too, but yeah, they were super happy for me, which was super, super fulfilling.
Yeah, definitely sounds like a core memory you had there.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I want to hear a little bit about your black horse. Tell me about him.
Oh my gosh, Midget. He is my best friend. I got him a couple years ago from some good family friends of ours in Colorado, the Sharon family. And before I had him, he was kind of like a kid's horse. They ranched on him and stuff. And my good horse had torn up his stifle, and so we saw them post Midget, and we tried him, and I honestly didn't like him at first. Like, I wasn't quite sure about it, and they actually got a snowstorm at home, and so it allowed me to keep him for a couple extra days and rope on him a couple more times, and I actually ended up really liking him after that. We kind of tweaked some things, and I kind of started getting with him, and then at the time, like, I don't know, that was a lot of money to spend for a breakaway horse, and I prayed about it, and I was putting on my goat horse's blanket, and I felt like God told me, like, ask if they want to trade. And this goat horse of mine was, like, 25 years old, just, I was going to tie goats for the next couple years and turn him out in a pasture and retire him. Like, he owed me nothing. He was such a great horse, and I had no intention of ever selling him. And so that made zero sense to me, but I was obedient. And the next day I asked him, and sure enough, that's what ended up happening. We traded for my goat horse, and those little boys took my goat horse Mex and had a lot of success on him. And he's been a huge blessing to their family, and Midget has been the biggest blessing to me as well. And yeah, it's just a win-win situation. And yeah, I love that horse. I owe the world to that horse, and he's made a lot of big things happen for me.
That's amazing. And what was your goat horse's name again?
Mex.
So we traded Mex for Midget. And how old was Midget when you got him?
He was 12 when I got him.
Okay. And you said they just ranched on him. And so how long did it take to really make him into a breakaway horse that you were feeling confident on?
He was, like, finished. Like, I cannot take any credit for finishing.
Oh, okay.
Like, he was awesome when I got him. But he hadn't been, like, at a pro rodeo caliber horse type thing. Like, the kids rode him and ranched on him and stuff.
Okay.
And so our rookie year was kind of rookie year together on the trail. And there was a lot to learn for both of us.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of quirks, and anybody that knows me, that knows Midget, just kind of knows how it is. He has since developed this spring being a runaway, warming up, and just last summer he wouldn't let me put his fly mask on. He stomped on my foot and I lost my toenail. Like, there's just always something with Midget, but we put up with it because he is that good. So
Oh
all
my
good ones have
goodness.
their perks.
They do. And is like can't tie him. Like what are some of the other ones he's got going on?
Oh, it just depends on the day, honestly. He can be so cranky. He tries to kick every time you put his back left boot on. I have to undo his head stall every time to put it on. He cannot be by himself. He's so buddied up with my horse Conway and now Jenna's horse Doc. He will not load on the trailer by himself. He's kind of like a little barrel horse. It's just, yeah, he's funny to be around, but
I know. We give these barrel horses so many free passes, but where are the breakaway horses' free passes?
Right. Yeah, we've just kind of let him slide with him.
So kind of walk me through your runs. I know we discussed kind of the setup and how you were, what were you seeing and stuff like that, but kind of walk me through them step by step.
We drove all night to get there. Somebody had asked me, "Do you always rope in a messy bun?" I was like, "No, honestly, I was so tired. I just threw it in a messy bun. My horse's tail was still in a tail bag, and we just kept with it all four runs." But first run was good. My calf kind of went on a little bit more, and I just kind of got him knocked down. Second run, like I said, I was probably way too in the barrier and was 2-4. That felt awesome. Third run, same kind of thing as my first one. Calf drifted right and went on quite a bit faster than the other ones and just got him knocked down. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was the short round run, and they took the top four to the shootout. And I wasn't really watching in the short round. Sometimes it's better for me to just tell myself, like, just go do your job and not have to know. And I knew that wasn't going to change my game plan regardless, just go make the best run on what I have type thing. But I didn't realize at the time I didn't even need to catch to make it back to the shootout round because there was only two catches before I went. And so I would have qualified regardless, but I just went and made a good run and ended up winning the average with that run as well. So that was just a cherry on top. And then shootout round, I did watch everybody and they put on a great show. Those girls, like, everybody caught, and so it just kept getting faster and faster after each run. And so the last girl went and she was 3 something, and so I knew I needed to kind of get after it. And I definitely paced more at the barrier that time and then took my shot and roped him. And you can see in the video, it was the craziest thing, but my eight came around, went through a front leg, caught like his back hoof, and then it all came out before my rope broke off.
That's
And
when
so I'm
you don't pull the slack. You just hold it out there and say, "Oh my gosh, please."
literally, that was the craziest thing. Like, I missed my slack, and I remember feeling a tug like when it came. And looking back at the video, that was my left hand. For some reason, I kept a hold of it with my left hand. And so, yeah, I put one little thing different, and that could have gone way south. But
Oh, so you were
somebody
hold
was like,
You were holding your slack with your left hand, or you just kind of had your hand down there?
"Yeah, I just like held on to it longer because I didn't ever switch it off to my right hand. And so that's when I felt the tug, but I did end up letting go and stuff, and it came out." But
That is
yeah, that
so
was
crazy.
crazy.
Wow. It was meant to be.
Someone was like, "That was super lucky." And I was like, "I don't really believe in luck." And I was like, "That was God's favor right there."
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, let's talk about the rest of your checks this past week. Are you hauling with Jenna all week?
Kind of. So Jenna's in Calgary right now, and so I'm on my own after Cody. So I went home to hit a circuit rodeo last night, and then I flew back up to Canada, and then we'll get back together here after this next week because I have like 7 circuit rodeos I have to make work the Casper Sheridan week, and
Oh.
she has NFR open and stuff. So
Yeah.
starting at Cheyenne, we'll be back together.
Kind of talk to me about Williams Lake and Red Lodge. Red Lodge seems like a really cool rodeo.
Yeah, that was a super cool rodeo. Honestly, both of them, all of them that I've been to have just been really cool because it's been my first time to all of them pretty much. Yeah, Williams Lake, we entered on top of the Reno short round. So we were really hoping we didn't have to make the trek to British Columbia. But Reno didn't go good for either of us in the second round. And so we drove clear up there and made it work. And thankfully it was worth it. And then drove all night to Ponoka the next morning for slack.
All right.
And then Red Lodge was, I got home like in the middle of the morning after Ponoka short or the shootout, and then we left for Red Lodge early that next morning. So I'm still a little short on sleep, but I'm living the dream, so it's all good.
Yeah. I feel like that's how a lot of girls go through Cowboy Christmas. You're like, I could be
Gosh,
complaining, but this is what I prayed for.
yes, exactly. I'm walking in the blessing you prayed for. Lots
Yes.
of energy.
What's the energy drink of choice?
Well, I have to say Tim Hortons when I'm up here. I do not pass up an opportunity to drive by a Tim Hortons caramel toffee cold brew. But
Ooh.
otherwise, I kind of bounce around on the energy drinks at gas stations,
Yeah.
Celsius, Red Bull, Lonnie's, all of them.
Like, I'll
They're
try
all
them
the
all.
trick.
I can get way too hooked on one, and then when I can't get it, it's like a very sad moment for me. So I feel like being more flexible on it kind of saves yourself if you ever can't find something. Well, what does the next few weeks look like? You said that you have a ton of circuit rodeos that Cheyenne Sheridan week.
Yes, trying to make a ton of those work that week, and then we'll go to Cheyenne, Salinas, Ogden, Spanish, all those, and then I think we might be coming back up for a few more Canadian rodeos. Thankfully, Jenna and I both should have the Canadian finals made now, so that's kind of a huge sigh of relief that we can primarily stay down in the States now, but yeah.
That's really fun.
And
Well, I'm sure you have an even higher respect for all the Canadian rodeos now that you have Pinoca on the win list.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're like special place in my heart for all of you.
Yeah, no kidding. The Canadians have been awesome, so.
That is so exciting. Well, I wish you safe drives over these next few weeks, and congratulations on your Pinoca win, and we'll kind of see how the rest of Cowboy Christmas shakes out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I
Yes,
appreciate it.
ma'am. I'll catch you later. Well, hello, Erin. Thank you for taking some time to chat with me on your long drive back to Colorado.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, high money earner over Cowboy Christmas. You kind of snuck up on me a little bit. I was keeping tabs on it, and then the Prescott money rolled in, and I said, "Ooh, Miss Erin is out here just pulling one over on all of us." Edged
Oh,
out
yeah.
Suzanne by just a couple $100.
Yep. I knew Suzanne had a great weekend or week also, and I don't know, Prescott really, I don't know, it snuck up on me too. I've always really liked that rodeo, but I don't know. I'm old enough that I go into all of it with zero expectations, so everything is a blessing, so
Yeah, it honestly going into it with zero expectations, I feel like really allows you to perform your best because then you're not hung up on these what ifs and how you're doing and how your horse is
Right.
doing and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It just takes a lot of pressure off, I feel like. I mean, I don't know. I know that I might be in a little bit different position than a lot of other girls. I mean, I sure the goals are all the same, and if I have a great year and I can make finals, that's awesome, but I've been there and I've done it. I mean, it's not the end of the world if I don't do it. My main goal this year is hauling a young friend of mine and showing her kind of how the rodeo road goes, and she's on her, she's her rookie year, and she's winning the rookie right now, I think. I don't know, I haven't looked at it since after the 4th of July, but anyway, that's my main priority, my main goal, and so it's taken the focus off of my own roping, but at the same time, it does take the pressure off, and you kind of just get to do your job and have fun doing it, and I think that, honestly, if you're not having fun, makes it much more of an uphill battle to win.
Mm-hmm. So is it Brooke Bruner that you're going with this year?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
She's from right here in Colorado, and I coached her through high school a little bit, and she had a good year in college, her first year of college. I think she just missed college finals, but she ropes real good, and she bought her card, and so I said, well, if you're going to buy your card, you kind of got one shot at it, so we probably better sign up.
That's really cool. I want to circle back to that, but first we got to talk about you. Talk me through your week. Tell me kind of where you started out and kind of just lay the land for us.
Yeah, so I wanted to, my priority is to obviously get to the best rodeos and get to my, I wanted to make sure and get to all the tour rodeos. I don't know that my entering went like I wanted it to for the 4th of July, but we only ended up going to 6 rodeos, but they were all the tour rodeos. I actually started on Monday at noon. I had, I was a guest at the NFR Open media luncheon. I didn't actually qualify for the NFR Open this year, but I live close, and they've asked me before to do, you know, our interviews and stuff for that. And so I got to go to that on Monday at noon, and then we had to be in Mandan on Tuesday morning. So it was, I picked up both of my little traveling partners right after I left Colorado Springs there on Monday afternoon, and we drove to Faith, South Dakota, and we stayed for a few hours and then made it to Mandan that next morning. But it's always exciting because always you're never as prepared as you'd like to be. So I get to Mandan and there's steel showing on 2 tires on my trailer. So we saddle all the horses up. Yeah, oh yeah, that's like just goes with the territory, I think, with me. But anyway, we saddle all the horses up and I tell the girls, I said, you get over there and watch the first draw. We were the first, second, and third girls in the second draw. So they went over there and I started calling around and I found some tires and tire shop, and I went over there and I pretty much followed these 2 boys around asking if they needed help to put these new tires on my trailer. So they got it done, and I got back over there. I got to watch like 10 girls before I roped at Mandan. And so it was pretty snug there. And then we had to be in Cody that night, which was a fast and furious trip across there to Cody. It's an 8-hour drive. It started at 8 o'clock. I think we left really just in enough time to get there. So we pulled in when the rodeo started at Cody and we roped there, and then no good at Cody. I left winning. I left right after I roped, obviously, at Mandan. So I was 2-1 and I was winning it when I left. They tied me once, and then they bumped me once there, and which is how the rodeo stayed for the rest of the time. And then Cody, I drew a strong one. It was the first perf there. I thought I made a pretty good run, and I didn't really think it would hold, and I ended up being right. I was, you know, several holes out of it probably there. But we left Cody. We had to be in St. Paul the next night, which 24 hours sounds like enough time to drive almost anywhere, but Cody to St. Paul is a long ways. We left Cody right after we roped. We drove to Coeur d'Alene. We got there at about 7:45 the next morning. We slept for 2 hours, and we got up and we went on to St. Paul, and we pulled in like just, you know, like not as the rodeo was starting, but like, you know, 45 minutes, an hour, right, you know, just enough time to saddle and have maybe a little bit of hospitality and rope there. And
I just looked it up. It's a 15-hour drive, and that's not pulling a trailer and not stopping to water horses and right. Not sleeping and
no fuel, no anything. Yeah, so you can't ever make it I don't know. I guess if you're really crazy. Anyway, yeah, it sounds like enough time to drive there, but really, and then when you get over there in Western Oregon and around Portland, the traffic is terrible, and it's really hard to navigate. You're not going to make up any time out there pulling a horse trailer. So, yeah, so it's just, it was pretty taxing on our nerves. But we didn't have any luck at St. Paul. And we went ahead and left there that night to avoid the traffic. And we had to rope in Basin City the next morning. So we drove over to Hermiston. We stayed for a few hours. We got probably 3 or 4 hours of sleep there at Hermiston the night of the second or early morning of the third. And then we roped at Basin City in the slack the morning of the third. I broke the barrier there, so no luck. And then we went to that evening. I have a good friend that lives there around just outside of Caldwell, Shelly Scrivener. We went to Shelly's house. I slept for 12 hours straight. It was
best
thing in the world. Oh gosh. Yeah, that was, and I felt like we were gonna, you know, we weren't gonna be rushed. We had to be in Oakley City the next night, which was the night of the fourth. And we had, you know, it's a 5.5 hour, 6 hour drive down there. It's easy. It's interstate. We're like, okay, we finally kind of got over the hard part of our trip. The rest of it's going to be, you know, okay or whatever. So we head down there. Shelly was actually up the same night, her and her traveling partner up the same night. So they were following behind us. And I get to Tremont and I look back and I have a wheel falling off of my trailer. So we pull over. And we limp it into the Maverick station there in Tremont and get it jacked up and get the tire off of it and get the hub, you know, off of it. It's all hotter than heck. The wheel bearing, you know, is toast. And so I send Brooke with Shelly onto the rodeo. And I said, well, you know, I want no sense in both of us getting turned out if this doesn't make it over there.
Yeah.
And so, 'cause Shelly only had hole for one. So I sent Brooke and her horse on with Shelly, and I limped it on three wheels to Oakley. And I had to call John Guatney, he's the shoe boss there at Oakley, and he had asked me to be in the opening ceremony. And I had to call him back and say, I'm not going to make that. I hope I'll make it in time to rope, but I'm not going to make the opening. And he, you know, he's awesome. He's like, yeah, no worries. Just slow down. You'll be fine. So I made it, fortunately, and I don't know. I mean, I wasn't too tight. I made it, you know, 30 minutes ahead of when I roped there. So we called Brooke's dad. He lives right outside of Denver, and he left when we were in Tremont there with the tire. I realized that this trailer, because we had to be in Prescott the next day, so we realized this trailer was not going to make it there. So he left Denver right there at about 6 o'clock that evening and with a trailer and brought it to us at Oakley and got there at 2:45 the morning of fifth. We hustled, loaded everything up. We left Oakley at 3:10 and we hauled rear to Prescott, and it was going to be pretty good. We were going to be there maybe with an hour to spare or so. And they had a crash on I-40, like west of King or east of Kingman, and they closed I-40. So it detoured us all the way down, like towards Wickenburg, and we came into to Prescott from the southwest on this little road called Baghdad Road.
Oh my gosh!
I've never been on anything. It was like riding a roller coaster. I'm not joking. It was like up. It's like one of those, like hill after hill, where you could get air if you were trying.
Wow.
And 25 mile per hour curves back and forth, one right after the other, 70 miles of it. I'm telling you, I was like so done by the time we got to Prescott. But we made it. We got to rope. Literally the only like enjoyable time we had to walk around any rodeo over the entire 4th of July was at Prescott on our second one, because we had to be there.
Well, I was going to say, your nerves were so shot, probably.
Yeah. Oh, my nerves. Yeah, my nerves. Everybody's like, yeah, we were just and tired, you know, I mean, really not a lot of rest. Thankfully, we did get that rest at Shelly's house, and the horses had some time off the trailer there. But anyway, it all worked out. It was, you know, it's just what rodeoing, that's really what rodeoing is about, too, is making the memories. And I mean, in 10 years, I might not remember exactly every run that I've made, but I'll remember all the excitement. So
you'll remember Baghdad Road.
Yeah, I'll remember Baghdad Road. I told Brooke, I said, I guess if you want to get to Prescott bad enough, you better be willing to take Baghdad Road. So, but I've always loved Prescott. The first year they had breakaway there, it was a one header and I won second. And then I can't remember. I went one year and I didn't win anything. But then the other year I placed in a round there too. And then last year I didn't go. I kind of stayed closer to home, but I really like that rodeo. I like the long box. Chico likes the long box.
Let's chat about Chico. You said he pulled all the weight for Cowboy Christmas.
I used him at the winter rodeo this year because he's solid and he's proven that he can do those. And so I used him at San Antonio and Fort Worth, and then I used him at San Angelo. And but everywhere else I've had a little young mare that I've been seasoning, and she has a lot of talent. She makes a few mistakes, and I don't know. I just kind of got frustrated, I guess. Not frustrated. She was doing really good, but when I went to the Calgary qualifier in Calgary, I decided that probably wasn't going to be kind of really her cup of tea. And so I rode Chico a little, legged him up a little bit, and I took him to Window Rock that weekend on the way to the Calgary qualifier. And I think I won second at Window Rock. I can't remember for sure. Second, third, maybe, or maybe just second. And then he worked great at Calgary at the qualifier too. I came back fourth high call and ended up breaking the barrier in order to get one of those spots. But anyway, I just felt like after, I don't know, it just felt easy, I guess, when I got back on him. And so I just decided that if I was going to go to all these rodeos, that I probably should just give myself a chance and to enjoy it and not have to worry about whether my horse was going to do their job. And so, yep. So he got to go. I don't know if he deserves that, but he's good. He's sound. He's 17. He's not old. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, if they can take the Holland, and Breakaway isn't like Barrels or something, you can get away with right. One that's not in their prime.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. 100%. So, mm-hmm. so he takes it good, and he travels good. You know, I mean, he's traveled all over the country, obviously, for several years. So he kind of knows how to take care of himself, I feel like, a little bit. And
yeah. Well, so. Who knows? Maybe he liked being called on after kind of being pushed to the back a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think he enjoys it. He gets wound up. He's a real hot horse. He's always been that way. I mean, most people are scared, but a lot of people laugh, like Jackie was laughing at him at Reno because he just about tried to jump out of the box there, and it was in the slack. He's kind of goofy. But he gets wound up, but he really does like his job, I feel like, and he gives 110% every time.
Yeah, awesome. Well, now that you have all this money behind you, I'm guessing you're sitting around 19th in the world. And like you said in the beginning, like, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't happen, cool. But what does this change anything? What's next?
Mm-hmm. Nope, it doesn't change a single thing. My plan has been from the get-go that we were going to go to 80 of the best rodeos that we could get to for Brooke, and that doesn't change. We're entered in the same rodeos that we were going to be entered in last week. So I'm just going to – I guess the only thing it may change is maybe I'll take him and ride him a little bit more than I will, the mare. If I hadn't won anything at this point, then – like when I went to the Northwest, I might have been more tempted just to take a young horse and, season her as opposed to making Chico take all that. But I mean, he'll probably be on the trailer now.
Yeah. You can take both of them.
That's kind of my plan, hopefully. And that way I have, she has some strong suits. She can really run. Like I rode her at Pecos last week just because I had been to, we went on that little trip. We went to Sisters Vernal, Fallon, Elko, Reno, and then when I got home, we were only home for about a day before we went down to Pecos, which it's a pretty good little haul down there. And then we had to drive back overnight to get to Greeley because we were up the day before the slack at Greeley. And so I decided not to make Chico take the trip to Pecos, so I put the mare on the trailer and I won the second round down there on her. But that's a good rodeo for her too. The box is long and the calves really run out in front of you, and she can really run. And so, there, she has setups that I think are going to be strong suits for her also. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I think she's good. And I know Chico is, I think you can research it a little bit, I bet. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Chico still run more calves at the NFBR than any other horse.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't make it last year, but he ran 11 the first year because it was a 10 head with an 8-man, 4-man shootout, and I made the 8-man round. I did not make the 4-man round. So he ran 11 the first year. He ran 10, 10, and 10 after that. So, and then didn't go last year. But, you know, everybody else that's made the finals 4 or 5 times has never rode the same horse all the time.
Because I know Martha's made it every year, but she switches between Legend and Jesse James.
Well, in the first year, he rode Simba. And, you know, so she hasn't, she didn't even have Legend and Jesse James the first year. And Shelby's made it 5 times. She rode Root Beer the first year, and then she had to ride Root Beer last year, I think, too. You know, I think Anna got 3 of them. But, yeah, so.
Maybe you just need to make sure you get back there to keep Chico's streak going.
Oh, right. I know. It would be, I would love to do that for him, for sure. He deserves that. He's been pretty awesome for me. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely a special horse. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that wraps it up for me. I'm so excited to hear that you're going with Brooke. I didn't know that. So it's a fun little detail.
No, it's been really good. It's been, so we started I started a nonprofit called Show Me the Ropes. And my goal is, I wanted to fundraise. I want to fundraise so that we could put like a rookie girl like Brooke in with somebody that has experience and pay the way for that rig, kind of help pay the way for the entire rig so that it's good for the mentor, but then a great opportunity for the mentee as well, which, you know, getting to travel with somebody with experience is a great opportunity for any young person. But I started that nonprofit as a avenue to make the fundraising maybe a little bit easier. And we've had some success raising a little bit of money. I haven't really gone all out and worked super hard at it. And I'm not very good at that either. I'm not really a salesperson, so to speak. So I have to be in the right frame of mind. But my goal, and you know, I really don't want to do this going forward. I would love for it to become successful and then hand it off to somebody different, or even have a different person each year. But, you know, there's so many girls that do that for people anyway. It would be awesome to help them get down the road in return for doing that. Like Martha's hauling Hayden, right? Is it Hayden this year? And, you know, there's always a young girl that's in a rig with somebody that knows what they're doing, because that's the best opportunity. That's the best chance they have.
Yeah, that's what it takes, honestly, because there's so much.
Sure. Like it takes. Yeah, there's so much to it that you really, a young girl, I mean, even a girl that is rodeo savvy, you know, it's just a lot to learn and do, and all in the same year, and you're going places you've never been. And I feel like if you're with somebody that's been there that can kind of help prepare you for each situation and each setup, because those don't typically change. Occasionally they might change a little, but typically the setups and the situation is the same at each rodeo year in and year out. And so I feel like traveling with somebody that's been there is an advantage, you know, it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of an idea. I've always, my whole career, I've even, you know, before the professional rodeo breakaway was a professional rodeo, you know, I've hauled lots of different young girls. You know, Casey Cobza went with me the first year she ever rodeoed in the Amateur Association, and Ashley Terrell, which is Amanda's older sister, I hold her a year, and I mean, there's been others, but, you know, I've done it my whole life, tried to help young girls kind of learn how to rodeo, learn how to enter, and I enjoy that, and so I've kind of had that idea in the back of my mind that could be something that really should be an opportunity that's available for people that are qualified and deserving, and
yeah,
you know,
well, and so, we're gonna get to spread the word a little bit with this.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be cool. So I just feel like I think it's a great idea, and I don't even think that it needs to be exclusive to breakaway roping. I mean, it definitely could expand to every event, but breakaway roping too, for me, you know, it is these young girls, you know, like Brooke. These young girls don't have any business being out on the road by themselves. I would never send my young girl at 18 or 19 or maybe even 25 and send her out on the road to try to do this by herself, because I don't.
I mean,
there's
You burned. You had to buy two tires and burned a hub off. Yeah. So.
Exactly. I mean, there's just a lot to it, and you can't just put that on a young girl that doesn't have any experience. And so I just feel like safety wise and just learning the ropes. I mean, that's what I called it. Show me the ropes is what it's called. And it just, I think, you know, and meeting people, you know, it's like having my friend Shelly up there just outside of Caldwell where I can go stay there, you know, and now Brooke knows her and now Brooke can go stay there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody has their own little spot or whatever, and the people that they know and the people they trust and places they can go. And that's part of rodeo. And I mean, the friend, the network is huge, and you know, relying on people for help. And
yeah, I
love
it.
We'll see where it goes.
Yes, so. Ma'am. Well, I really appreciate your time, and I hope that you get back to Colorado safely.
Yeah, thanks for your time. I sure appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right, guys, thanks for joining me on that wild ride. I feel like we just drove a couple hundred miles with those ladies as we heard all about their adventures on Cowboy Christmas. Remember, you can check out the Breakaway Roping Journal's website and social media channels for even more Cowboy Christmas statistics and stories. And special thanks again to our supporter of today's episode, Roping.com. Remember, fresh new stuff from Taylor Munsell and Kelsey Domer with Larry D. Guy, Hope Thompson, and even more in the wings, so go check it out. I'll catch you guys later.